Wonderful music this morning. So good to have a stage that's full again and have some of the walking recovered here among us. What a joy that is to be on the other side of COVID and just continuing to feel blessed in so many ways. And we pray that you are as well. Christmas all starts with a name, really. The name is Jesus. After the angel appeared to Mary and to Joseph at different times and shared what would be their supporting roles in the most important work God had ever undertaken, he gives the same instructions to both, pretty simply. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's a tall order for one so small with so small a name. You know, the name Jesus is quite interesting. It wasn't invented for this one child. I guess in our minds we'd like to think there's only one Jesus. It was a very common name of the time. It was a name that reflected hope. The first time we encounter that name in the Hebrew world, I believe, is found in the one that God chose to assist and then succeed Moses. He was born as Hoshea, son of Nun, but Moses called him Joshua, which is our English way of saying Yeshua, which is the Hebrew way of saying the Greek Jesus, which in English, of course, is a name we know, Jesus, which is so much more than just a name to us. You're probably here today because you know it is more than just another name. However you say it, Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus, Jesus, they all mean really one and the same thing. God rescues, God saves, God delivers. Moses' sidekick Joshua probably got his name because the people enslaved in Egypt needed a deliverer badly. They needed someone to save them from 430 years of oppression and bondage at the hands of the Egyptians, all of the ugliness that came with those things. 1,500 years later, in Israel, the name Jesus was an incredibly common, ordinary name because every parent dreamed and deeply hoped that their son might be the one to save God's people from Roman oppression, Roman bondage, still just as ugly, still just as dark. For this baby Jesus, the one that we know, the son of Mary and the son of God, his name would not only echo the hope of so many Jewish parents who were naming their boys Yeshua, his name would also be his mission. God saves. And in the accomplishment of that mission, the coming of this small one born in Bethlehem some 2,020 years ago, wouldn't change much. It would only change everything. We've been talking through December, the idea of revolutionary compassion, revolutionary impact, revolutionary submission, revolutionary blessings. Christmas is about a revolutionary baby. So it was in Bethlehem so long ago that a child came with a common name and common human parents through the process of a biologically common birth into the common earthy setting of a stable, perhaps, where he would be laid in a common animal's feeding trough and nursed at a common human breast and swaddled in common rags. What a strange way to find the Savior of mankind come into the world. What an unexpected, delightfully hidden gift. The wise old scholar, preacher George MacDonald once wrote, "They were looking for a king to slay their foes and lift them high. Thou camest a little baby thing that made a woman cry. So they missed it. And we would have too. Even though his coming was cloaked in the ordinary and common trappings, much more of peasantry than pageantry, there was no way practically anyone could have known that he was indeed quite uncommon. His parents knew. His heavenly Father certainly knew. Some shepherds who had been minding their own business but paying attention at the right time, they knew. The angels who told them knew. And some magi, wizened astrologers from the Far East, they seemed to know. And one very evil king knew as well, because Satan and his angels certainly knew. But that's about all who did. And I suspect that even those who knew in part could not have imagined what the coming of this tiny baby would come to mean in whole to the world and to every human who had or ever would breathe earth air. The rescuer, the savior, the deliverer had come. He had arrived. The savior of mankind was in Bethlehem, of all places, lying in a feed trough. An unknown writer put it this way: all the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever set sail, all the kings who have ever ruled on this planet have not affected the life of man on earth as much as this one solitary life. This baby would bring a revolution. This baby would change everything. Babies have a way of doing that, don't they? A long-dead American fiction writer, Bret Hart, wrote a piece called The Luck of Roaring Camp. It captures something of the hope motif that is at the very heart of the Christmas story. I'd never heard this story before I read an article by Rubel Shelley, and maybe it is new to you as well. Roaring Camp, in his writing, was portrayed as the coarsest, meanest, toughest mining town in the Wild West of 1805. It was a terrible place, a horrible place, where violence and theft and murder were commonplace. It was inhabited entirely by men, and one, quote, coarse, and it is to be feared, a very sinful woman, unquote, named Cherokee Sal. Well, Sal ended up with child and died in the process of giving birth to a baby. The men in that harsh place took her infant and placed him in a box that had shipped dynamite sticks with some rags placed around him for padding and warmth. After burying Sal, they began to try to figure out what in the world to do with the baby. They could send him to the closest camp with women some 40 miles away. That was one possibility, but no. There were too many dishonest and unscrupulous souls there to trust the baby's welfare to the likes of them. They might try to find a woman who would be able to be hired to come to Roaring Camp to be the baby's nurse. Well, they knew that no decent woman would ever come there. Now, to make the short story shorter still, these rough and rowdy miners decided to keep the baby right there in Roaring Camp, where he thrived and was named Luck, Tommy Luck. They sent one of their number to town 80 miles away to buy a real cradle for him. Another was dispatched to Sacramento to get proper blankets and supplies for a baby. These were acquired. But a rosewood cradle and frilly baby blankets made the house they were in look just filthy. So those terrible and tough men got on their hands and knees and they scrubbed the floor clean, which only served to make the dirty walls look dirtier. So they washed them down and they painted, but clean walls only made bare windows look like they needed curtains. So curtains were bought and hung. There was really no place to stop in this baby-wrought revolution. Since babies need lots of sleep, they stopped their raucous, drunken brawling and fighting through all hours. And as the boy began to grow and began to imitate sounds and learn language, they cleaned up their vocabularies and they stopped swearing. As he began to try to walk and eventually was big enough to play outdoors, they planted grass and flowers in a fenced garden. That was better and safer than the mud and the dust and the sand and the sharp rocks. Tommy was hugely popular. Trying to play with little Tommy, their huge miner's hands looked so dirty and they smelled. So pretty soon the general store was selling lots of soap and shaving gear. You're following the story now, aren't you? One tiny little baby changed everything. Everything. You know, on a far grander scale, that is the Christmas story. God is with us. And because of that, there is hope for the worst and the dirtiest and the meanest of us, or certainly at the very least, the worst and dirtiest and meanest parts of each of us. That baby Jesus, the one who traveled so far and came so unexpectedly deep into this terribly dark and violently dangerous place, the same one that we celebrated Thursday on the day the world calls Christmas, that same baby changed everything. In Roaring Camp, they credited it to luck. Such a fine thing should happen to them, and ultimately to the boy. But I tell you, in the true story, the one where God intentionally sends his helpless baby son to one day shepherd a pack of wolves, luck has nothing to do with it. Love has everything to do with it. Through him, we find redemption and forgiveness and purpose and renewal, as he takes us at our filthy worst and through his graceful touch makes us oh so much better. At Christmas, we celebrate the fact that we should be loved so much, and we find ourselves numbered among the billions who now know this revolutionary baby and his name, the name above all names, at whose feet one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, thank you for letting us be a part of history, the part that has allowed us to know your Son. Thank you, Father, that we were privileged to be born after his coming split the darkness. And even though it seems still dark and horrible and ugly at times, we know, Lord, that the light of Jesus revolutionizes this world. And it revolutionizes everything that it touches, right down to our very lives. I pray, Lord, that the revolution of the Christ child will not stop in Bethlehem, that it will not just be history, that it will not just be a warm and fuzzy story that we like to tell around Christmas trees with presents and lights. I pray that the revolution started by the coming of that little one would do its work deeply in our hearts, and that through us it would do its work deeply in our homes and in our community, in our neighborhood, as we open our eyes to the fields that are white unto harvest. I pray, Lord, that the coming of that child will continue to revolutionize the coming of the new year, and that 2021 will find us a different people, find us a better people because of that baby. Thank you for Jesus, Father. Thank you for sending your Son to change our lives and our world. It's in His name we pray. Amen.
Hey, church. We're so glad you tuned in today. If you need prayer, or if you have questions about what it means to follow Jesus, you can message us on Facebook or visit our contact page on our website, wacconline.org. If you're interested in joining our church family, we have the next steps available for you on our website as well. And remember, we are real people experiencing real grace. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.